Hello and welcome to the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football DFS Podcast. My name is John Solly. I'm a PFW Fantasy Football contributor. You can find me on Twitter at JSolly. Joining me, as always, is my co-host, PFW contributor and Northwest Herald sports editor, Kyle Neighbors. You can find him on Twitter at Kyle Neighbors. And Kyle, I think we're just going to ignore how last week went and be a forward-thinking podcast and move ahead to this week. How's that sound?
Last week, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yep. All right. Well, so let's get going with it. We're going to break this up into two parts. So if you're listening to this on Friday or Saturday, you may want to hit the fast forward button for about 5 or 10 minutes, because we are going to start with the Thanksgiving slate and then move on to the Sunday main slate. So we're going to start with the Thanksgiving slate. And Kyle, I always like the Thanksgiving slate because these are really big tournaments with really, I mean, it's really top heavy with the prizes, but you know, someone's going home in DraftKings main contest with $150,000 based off a 3-game slate, which is, I don't know, it's interesting. It makes Thanksgiving a little bit more enjoyable.
Yeah, I mean, you can throw a couple bucks on it and come up with. See, when you have such a short slate, like, you're probably going to make plays that you normally wouldn't. So, like, you don't want to spend a bunch of money on this, but, like, if you have a few bucks to burn, like, just come up with some weird lineup and give yourself a chance and differentiate. It's kind of fun, yeah. It's entertaining, at least.
Yeah, yeah. Give yourself a little bit of a sweat on Thanksgiving. And, yeah, like Kyle mentioned, you really do want to do something a little bit different this time around. You can't just play chalk and expect to win this thing. Somebody is going to basically break the tournament that is, you know, near minimum price and, you know, ends up getting into the end zone twice. So hopefully we can identify a guy like that on today's podcast. But I want to go through kind of position by position for the Thanksgiving slate, Kyle. And at quarterback, it's really Kirk Cousins or bust for me in this slate, unless you really want to get weird and go Case Keenum, or really weird and go Dak Prescott. But I think Kirk Cousins isn't just such a fantastic matchup against the Giants, and he's been so consistent and so good. It's one of those cases where he's going to be chalky, but I'm willing to eat it at this position. What do you think about quarterback over on FanDuel on this one?
I mean, I understand what you're saying. Yeah, he's clearly the top choice, but we were just saying, if you're going to play these tournaments, you might as well get a little weird. I'm trying to see here. I mean, I don't really mind Dak. Like, if you're going to pay up, because they're $100 difference on FanDuel, I think you might as well take a shot in the dark and go with Dak and hope that he gets things back on track. Outside of that, I might actually – I kind of like Phil Rivers.
You know, it's not a bad choice. I can see the logic of taking Philip Rivers, especially based off of what he and Keenan Allen did last week.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad play. I mean, Dallas' secondary is not anything to worry about. Those probably would be the three guys I'm looking at, Prescott, Cousins, or Rivers. I don't really want to deal with Matt Stafford in that offense.
I don't want to deal with Stafford against the Vikings' defense. Stafford has a history of just not doing well. I don't think he's ever thrown for more than 2 touchdown passes against the Vikings' defense.
See, now you make me want to play him then. No one's going to play him. Just take a shot. Why not? Right?
If I'm going after a quarterback in that game, it's going to be Keenum, and I'll find a way to double stack with Thielen for sure, and then either Diggs or Rudolph.
All right.
All right. Well, let's move on to running back. And this, it's really, really interesting on DraftKings. I think it's a little less interesting on FanDuel, because on DraftKings, Melvin Gordon is up at 8,100. And then the next playable guy, because Zeke Elliott is suspended and Chris Thompson is on IR, is Jerick McKinnon at 5,200, followed by Samaje Perine at 5,000. So there's a gigantic difference between the top price guy and the next guy that you can actually put on your roster. So I think Melvin Gordon is going to be super chalky, but the Cowboys just gave up 200-plus rushing yards to the Eagles. Melvin Gordon, is a guy that is going to be highly owned. The projection I'm looking at right now is he's going to be 50% owned, which really makes me want to fade him, especially because he's so inefficient. And Austin Eckler still, I know Gordon got all the first half carries against Buffalo, but Eckler has a role in this offense.
Yeah, it's really hard to read much into that game last week, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it was special.
Yeah. So for the price, I'm probably going to fade Melvin Gordon. He's just... he's not as involved in that offense over the last couple weeks. I don't really understand why they love Austin Eckler so much, but I'd rather pay for Austin Eckler. I think it's interesting. I've seen here P. Ryan's questionable. Have you seen an update on him?
Have not seen an update on him.
I mean, who starts if it's not him?
Then it's Byron Marshall, who was signed off the Eagles practice squad last week. He'll be the third down back. He is 3,200 on DraftKings this week.
I don't know anything about Byron Marshall, but I'm gonna have to look up Byron Marshall here.
He's a guy that is gonna have to play a role in the Redskins offense, but
I mean, I understand that he has to play a role, but what does he do? Is he any good at anything?
He might be able to catch the ball a little bit.
All right.
That's about it, I think.
Man, that's not a great situation there. I probably wouldn't play P. Ryan even if he was healthy, just because I don't really like him. I think he's not a very good football player.
He's a plotting type guy, and the projection that I'm looking at for ownership for him on DraftKings is the highest of any player right now at 67%. Yeah, I can't. I probably wasn't playing him anyway. If he's going to be that highly owned, it's a full fade. Because look, on DraftKings, it's full point PPR. So, you know, and P. Ryan doesn't catch the ball. They don't throw to him. So he's got to get his yards on the ground, and he's got to get in the box. And even then, because he's so inefficient, you know, it's similar to Melvin Gordon. They are so inefficient as runners that they have to get at least 25 carries to get there. And P. Ryan might get there against a bad Giants defense. Like, I get it, but I if he's going to be that highly owned, I don't want him at all.
No, I agree. A couple guys that are jumping out at me. Well, see, here's the problem. I think Jerick McKinnon is clearly a better back than Latavius Murray, but apparently the Vikings don't believe so. So I don't really know if I want to get into that silliness with those two. I don't mind Austin Eckler at his price. And I don't mind Alfred Morris.
Yeah, I think Morris is the play out of the running back group, because the Cowboys only started two running backs last week. Darren McFadden was a healthy scratch, and Rod Smith is supposed to be the passing down back in the offense for the Cowboys. And let me look up what he did last week. He got no targets. So, I mean, I know the game, and that was a game that got away from Dallas. If you're supposed to be the passing down running back and you're losing to the Eagles by 20 and you're not getting any targets, I can't play you.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I mean, the way to attack the Chargers is on the ground. So I'm guessing, yeah, I mean, that look, Alfred Morris seems like the smartest play if you don't want to pay up for P. Ryan or Gordon. I think Morris and Eckler are probably the top two guys I'd look at.
Any love for Darkwa?
I was just looking at that now. Not really. I don't know what to do with this Giants offense. Like, I don't want to target it.
Yeah, and they're starting to get banged up on the offensive line now too.
Yeah,
not that Washington's defensive line is all that great, but I believe right guard Justin Pugh is going to miss the game.
And I'll go ahead and have my weekly segment where I tell you not to play Amir Abdullah under any circumstances because he's bad at football.
I can't play him. I just can't play him. I know he caught a touchdown against the Bears, but even with that, he still ended up with 11 points on DraftKings.
Yeah, I could have caught that touchdown against the Bears since the linebackers decided that they just weren't going to cover him on that play.
Yeah. So I think it sounds like Alfred Morris is a guy that we're kind of locking in, and he's going to have lower ownership than a guy like P. Ryan or Gordon or McKinnon. I think I'm probably most interested next in McKinnon or Gordon. But I definitely get the Eckler love.
Yeah.
All right. Wide receiver, Adam Thielen is not just a guy anymore. Like, Adam Thielen is legitimately good at football.
Yeah, no, this is a thing, isn't it? I mean,
It is, and I think you almost have to play him in this matchup. He's not going to get shadow coverage from Darius Slay. The way to attack Detroit is in the slot. Thielen runs more of his routes from the slot. I think Thielen is a guy that you just have to kind of plug and play.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, just play him. I mean,
do you feel the same way about Keenan Allen?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think it's point chasing either.
So here's the problem. Like I think you can make a case for any of the top guys here, whether Thielen, Allen, and on a short slate, Stephon Diggs. Like the Stephon Diggs game, it's coming at some point. Like, so the question is, how do you differentiate yourself here? Like, who can you play that gives you an edge? I think I know who it's going to be for you, though.
Yeah, it's a guy that, the projection I'm looking at right now is 1% ownership on him, which I refuse to believe is actually going to be true. Might be true right now, but Kenny Golladay, yes, of the Detroit Lions. He's a guy who's usually gets 3 to 5 targets a game, but this is a game because of the Darius, or because of the Xavier Rhodes shadow coverage that Minnesota is going to employ on Marvin Jones. This feels more like a 5 or 6 target game for Kenny Golladay. And at 3,800, also a guy that they like throwing to in the end zone, and a guy who's going to have a physical advantage over whoever covers him. I think Golladay is the low-owned, low-priced guy that could break the tournament.
Yeah, no, I'm on board with you. I think he's a guy that's going to go overlooked. He's showing upside. I think Detroit's going to be trailing and going to have to pass. So I think that's a solid play.
Yeah, I'm avoiding Marvin Jones for sure because of Xavier Rhodes. The Washington pass catchers, if you're playing Cousins, which I think both of us are definitely leaning that way, Crowder and Doxson, I feel like you could play both of them, to be honest with you.
Yeah, of course, Vernon Davis. Sorry, getting over. I'm just looking at pass catcher for Washington and seeing Jordan.
Yeah, Vernon Davis is a lock.
Yeah. So, but yeah, anyone. Play anyone against the Giants is my philosophy, at least in the passing game.
Yeah. Any other low price guys you like? Maybe a Tyrell Williams or a Roger Lewis? I mean, that's really digging deep. Yeah.
Cole Beasley, maybe? I mean,
I don't want to play Cole Beasley.
I don't want to play Cole Beasley either, but it's a 3-game slate.
It is. I mean, Ryan Grant, maybe, from Washington.
Yeah, Ryan Grant. He's questionable.
Yeah, he'll get you 3 targets and not much more. But yeah, he's proven he can do stuff with those 3 targets.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have a dart throw somewhere around here. Bryce Butler? Yeah.
I wish he played more. he's good. He's better than Beasley. He's better than Williams, but he is forever stuck as the 4th wide receiver, and I don't want the 4th wide receiver in this game. all right, well, let's move on to tight end. We've sort of spoiled this, but Vernon Davis is an absolute lock with Jordan Reed out.
Yes, just play Vernon Davis. Of course, you could also go back to Evan Ingram. I mean,
yeah, it was a clunker last week, but that was a weird game. So I have no problem going back to Ingram because Washington is one of the weakest DVOA teams against tight ends still.
Yeah, and so we were talking at the beginning here about differentiating yourself. This might be the spot to do it. Like, I get it, Vernon Davis. It's against the Giants, but he's going to be 70% owned. Like, that might be high, but like, I might be overdoing it there. He's going to be insanely owned.
He is. He absolutely is. And I think a guy you can differentiate with, I think Ingram's one of them. I think the other one is Kyle Rudolph.
Yeah.
Against a Lions team that really struggles to cover tight ends. They just gave up, 60 yards to Adam Shaheen. And Rudolph is due for some touchdown regression, too. He has 1 touchdown in his past 5 games. And the targets are so consistent. Here's his last 4 games for targets. 7, 7, 7, 7. And before that, 9 and 9. The volume's there. He's only 4,100 on DK.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably a good way to go. If you want to get off of Vernon Davis and not have to go all the way up and pay for Evan Ingram, I'd say Kyle Rudolph is the best bet.
Yeah, I would say Hunter Henry, but that's a total dart throw at this point.
Yeah.
Chargers have no clue how to use them. All right, well, that'll do it for the Thanksgiving portion. So if you are listening to this on Friday or Saturday, welcome back. We're talking about the main slate now. We're just going to kind of go position by position. Kyle, who are some of the quarterbacks that you've really got your eye on in the main slate this week over on FanDuel?
Hold on. Got to pull it up now.
All right. Well, let's pull up the main slate. It's obviously a different kind of slate with so many teams playing on Thursday. Some guys that, you know, we would love to see on Sundays and just aren't available. But it's still a full slate. Still had some interesting plays, I think.
It might help if I also click on the main slate and not just the 1 p.m. games. That would help us out a lot. Okay, there we go. All right, so we're starting at quarterback, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, you know, we were talking about this in the office yesterday. I am all in on Jacoby Brissett, as long as he is cleared to play.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the questionable tag right now, but you know, if he's cleared to play, that Tennessee defense is certainly attackable.
Yeah. Jacoby Brissett price has not caught up to the way he's played over the last few weeks, which has been well. He's been playing well. I just think this is a good spot to attack this Tennessee defense. They're at home. Indianapolis has played better at home. I just feel like this is a good spot.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think Brissett, if you're going to play down or pay down, Brissett is probably the guy. I'm not really interested in paying down for really anybody else this week.
Yeah. Outside of that, I think you can go back to Alex Smith. Everyone's going to jump off him after the clunker last week, but you have to understand the wind was absolutely ridiculous in New York. They're back home. They're going to be angry. After kind of scuttling to get by the Giants, I think this is the bounce back spot for him.
Especially against a Buffalo team that hasn't stopped anybody in a couple weeks now and is on the road for the second straight week.
Yeah.
It's in Arrowhead, which is just a tough place to play.
If you're paying up, you know, Tom Brady, of course, is in play against Miami. Russell Wilson against San Francisco. And, I really don't want to do it, but you have to have some interest in Roethlisberger.
Yeah, you do. It's not a bad play.
The problem is everyone's probably going to jump on that after he went nuts against, against Tennessee on that Thursday night game.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So absolutely. You know who I don't mind that is probably going to be low owned and his price is a little high, but Jared Goff. I know the Saints defense is not one we've wanted to attack a lot, but they're starting to get banged up. And the important one is Marshon Lattimore got hurt, and that really opens things up in the secondary. So Goff is a guy that I don't mind as a low owned play.
That's actually, I forgot about the Lattimore injury. That's a good point. He's going to go overlooked because of the way the Saints defense has played. And with Lattimore out, yeah, that's actually a great idea.
Thank you. let's move on to running back, Kyle. Who are some of the guys that you're looking at on FanDuel in the main slate?
Well, I haven't been in this camp in a while, but it's going to be jamming Le'Veon Bell in. I think we're back on that bandwagon this week. How about you?
Yep. And anytime I can get Le'Veon Bell in, especially in this matchup, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, I don't know if the matchup matters. Just the price still is coming up, but still isn't unplayable. Is Ingram and Kamara, like, they're both getting such an insane amount of work that it's hard to not look their way.
They're both playable, and they've proven you can play them both in tournaments.
Yeah. Well, who else do you have? Who do you have your eye on?
It pains me to say it, but you mentioned Alex Smith. Kareem Hunt against the Buffalo defense that has just hemorrhaged rushing yards since they traded away Marcell Dareus. Hunt's back home. I got to feel like this is a get-right game, and he's got to get back into the end zone for the first time in months. I think Kareem Hunt is a guy that will be low-owned. And I don't mind paying up for, especially he's sandwiched in between Ingram and Kamara on DraftKings. So I think he's going to get overlooked.
He's even cheaper than that on FanDuel. He's actually below both of those guys. He's 77.
Wow, okay. Nice.
Well, I mean, if Devontae Freeman's going to be out again,
Tevin Coleman.
Yeah. He's 6,200, better matchup than he had on Monday night. I know he wasn't very efficient, but he did find the end zone. I think that he's probably a good 15 to 20 point play at home against Tampa. Man, I'm looking at the Patriots running backs right now and thinking about how bad everyone was trolled by Rex Burkhead. And I didn't fall for it, but it was just the most, like, I saw Deion Lewis catch that touchdown early in that game, and I just kind of chuckled.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, Lewis is the early down running back for that New England offense against a Miami defense that I don't mind running against. So, sure, take another spin of the wheel, and let's go with Deion Lewis this time.
I think I'm going to stay off that train.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, until you can figure it out. You can't figure it out. We think we've got Patriots running backs figured out, and Bill Belichick just laughs.
Yeah, I mean, like, there are enough options that I don't think you need to go that route.
Carlos Hyde, I think, is a safe play.
I know, yeah, he's beat up on Seattle in the past.
Yeah.
How about DeMarco Murray against Indianapolis?
I was just about to mention him, actually. He refuses to give up the lead back role. I know he had a terrible day against Pittsburgh, but he's still going to get 3 to 5 targets and, you know, 12 to 14 rushes against an Indianapolis defense that you can run on.
Who's going to start at running back for Seattle? Have you seen?
I don't know, and I don't care. I don't want to play any of them.
Just go ahead with the passing game. I mean, if that's your feeling, play Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I honestly, if I'm playing anyone from Seattle, it's Russell Wilson, and I may sprinkle in, you know, a Baldwin or a Graham.
All right.
At this point. It's all the offense is all Russell Wilson right now.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to wide receiver. Kyle, anybody that's catching your eye over there at FanDuel?
Well, we were just saying Doug Baldwin. Man, we talk about it every week, and I'm just going to continue. AJ Green.
I mean, it's against the Browns, so.
Yeah.
He's in play.
I'm going to run away with AJ Green one day. I've just decided that. T.Y. Hilton, if you're going to play Brissett, I mean, the blow-up spot for T.Y. Hilton have been fairly obvious. This is one of them.
Yep.
Let's see. Devin Funchess, I can't believe, but, I mean, if he's going to continue to see this type of work against the Jets secondary, I'll take a chance. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Who else are you looking at?
Julio's going to get in the end zone someday, right?
No.
One of these days, Julio Jones is going to end up in the end zone.
Yeah, it's not going to be this year.
It hasn't done it since week 7. But the Falcons are starting to use him a little bit different. Steve Sarkisian is at least sort of maybe a little bit wise enough that when you have Julio Jones, maybe you should throw to him and throw to him on early downs. So, I feel like he's still underpriced. He's only 7,700 on DraftKings. I'm going to ride or die with Julio.
You know, I was going to say here, I hate feeling like I'm chasing points. And with Brandon Cooks, I'm always feeling like I'm chasing points. But this matchup against Miami is probably too hard to pass up.
Yeah, I'll agree. How about Alshon Jeffery in a revenge game against the Bears?
No, I mean, I just don't want to target the Bears secondary. I know maybe that sounds a little weird, but like it's been consistent. Like, they're not great, but they're just consistent.
Yep. I think there's not really a lot of low price guys that I'm all that interested in.
Yeah, that's what I'm searching through here. I was trying to write down a few names earlier and wasn't really coming up with much. I mean, Paul Richardson, going back to that Seattle game. But like, there's just not a lot of upside that I can find.
Yeah, there aren't a lot of guys that you can say, okay, they're going to get 15, 20 points.
I just noticed, I didn't realize Robert Woods is out.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's so Cooper Kupp.
Cooper Kupp.
I mean,
maybe Sammy Watkins.
Sammy Watkins and Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This might be the Watkins game.
I love some Sammy Watkins.
Yeah. I want him to be more involved. This may be the day that he does it with no Lattimore on the other side.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's got to be a Sammy Watkins game. I mean, this has to be. It's almost too obvious.
Yeah. I'll throw one more guy your way just because I think game flow is going to help him. I know he's questionable with a groin injury right now, so take that with a grain of salt. But Dontrell Inman.
No, I don't want it. There's too many options to deal with Baird wide receivers.
Okay, that's fair. All right, let's move on to tight end then. Kyle, who are your top guys at tight end this week?
Travis Kelce. Give me all the Travis.
That's an easy one.
yeah. Outside of that, let's see. Jack Doyle. Love Jack Doyle in this spot. I feel like Delanie Walker is finally starting to get going too.
He's healthy for the first time in a while.
Yeah. It's now nine targets, 5 and 10, and an 8 before that. So he's going to find the end zone eventually. I don't think he's scored at all this year. He has not.
Yeah, he has not.
Yeah, he's going to find the end zone eventually. It might be this game.
Yep. And, gosh, I would love to target a tight end against the Browns, but I don't know who that's going to be from the Bengals side.
Yeah.
CJ Uzoma might be the guy.
Oh, yeah.
If you really want to go, you know, minimum price at tight end this week.
God, I mean, how does AJ Green not just go nuts? Like, this is going to be one of those games where I just have 100% AJ Green, and then he has like 4 targets, 3 receptions for 25 yards, and I'm angry.
Sounds about right.
I mean, but like, there's no one else for them to throw to. Like,
yeah, that's true. I mean, it's LaFell is a guy that maybe gets a few targets, but he's never.
He's bad. That's the problem. Yeah. It's like, stop throwing it to Brandon LaFell.
All right. Anybody else that tight end you got your eye on?
No, I think. I mean,
Ertz maybe.
Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna go to Ertz, just go. If you're gonna play the go up the Ertz, just spend $100 more and play Gronk.
Yeah.
This might be. I mean, Gronk price is down to 7,700 on FanDuel, and eventually he's gonna have one of the Gronk weeks. So, actually. That might not be a bad play.
He's 6,900 on DraftKings.
I'm sure he appreciates that price.
I'm sure if Gronk's going to go off in a week, it's when he's that price. Yeah. All right. Well, on that note, we're going to end the Pro Football Weekly DFS podcast for this week. For Kyle Neighbors, I'm John Solly. Good luck in your matchups this weekend.